Hello again. This is NULA, a Reconciliation Outreach, Paula NULA Higgins. Just a little podcast to attach our weekly message. Today I have the privilege of saying Shana Tova, Happy New Year, the new year, the biblical new year, and especially to any Jewish friends, that it's a special year we believe that's ahead. And with the world events this week also were special for Israel. And more blessing is on the way. We just want to tell, especially believers in Yeshua, the importance of, they're not just the Jewish feasts. In the Bible, they're called the feasts of the Lord. But many in the church worldwide has just dismissed it. Nothing to do with us. It has a whole lot to do with us. And we're very happy to celebrate this new year. God, as many may know, gave Israel seven feasts. And they're in Leviticus 23 and Exodus 23 in the Bible. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. We're going to really speak today about trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, trumpets are also called Rosh Hashanah, Rosh, the head of the year, Hashanah. That's why we say Shana Tova. And tabernacles, atonement and tabernacles. They're at this time of the Jewish year. Now, but many, many believers don't know. They commemorate three things. They have a triple application. They commemorate, point to an event in Israel's history, very important event. Then prophetically, they proclaim a dimension of the Messiah's, Jesus' redemptive work. He fulfilled the feasts. They point to a personal dimension also of all believers' redemption. Therefore, they are very important to us that we're working on to come to the fullness that God has for us. This was one of the ways Yeshua fulfilled the law and the prophets. He said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, the four feasts, the first feasts occur in spring. The first four feasts occur in the spring and summer. The last three at the harvest time of the year. They are after Pentecost. Many people don't know the Jews have their Pentecost when the law was given to Moses. And many Christians just believe Pentecost is about the law of the Spirit coming upon believers after Yeshua went to heaven and he said, "Wait for the power of the Lord to be upon you." These are the fall feasts are a blueprint of the Messiah's work of redemption. Okay, Passover, was the Lamb of God who fulfilled, took the sins of Israel and gave his life, the Holy Spirit, to those who would receive it. The last three feasts are to be fulfilled by him at the end of the age. So the last three feasts are Rosh Hashanah, Atonement, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles or Sukkot. These were celebrated each year by Yeshua, but he did not fulfill their prophetic meaning on his first coming. He did fulfill the other first four feasts. But when he returns, he will fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, by coming to establish his visible rule over Israel and over all the earth from Jerusalem. He'll have the throne of David, and we look forward with great expectation to that day. And at the same time, he said, we wouldn't know the day or the hour, but we'd know the signs of the times. And we see in worldwide events the sign of the times happening before our eyes. As we come into this season of trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Torah, Atonement, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, Sukkot, let us examine and try and shed light on the last day redemptive works of Jesus and how they relate to the events that will precede his triumphant return. The prophetic pattern of the feasts indicate that before the Lord returns, there will be an outward fulfillment of the two preparation days, trumpets and atonement. Worldwide events will signal the return of Yeshua, and it shows us also, it seems, that they're imminent, and spiritual cleansing and regeneration will be released on Israel and on the body of Christ worldwide, preparation of the bride. The Feast of Trumpets, Yom Torah, and is also called Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, as it marks the beginning of Israel's new civic year, Passover, is the beginning of the religious year. And remember, their calendars and our calendars are slightly off. They have God's calendar. That's why we're rejoicing in the new year of heaven today. It recalls the trumpets which were blown when Joshua summoned the people of Israel to enter the land of promise. And we've stood on that spot in Israel. Wonderful to go there and see this. The Feast of Trumpets recalls the entry of Israel into the land of promise. They're also blown to proclaim a new season in time. We believe the present return of the Jewish people, and more specifically, the return of Jerusalem to Israeli rule, are the prophetic fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Why do we think this? Jesus was asked, what in Matthew 24, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of age? He answered by saying that his return would be preceded by recognizable public events by which his disciples would know that his return was soon. Chief among these signs is the return of Jerusalem to Jewish control. This has, you should know, happened in 1967. Israel was established as a nation in 1948, but they did not get back control of Jerusalem until 67, miraculously, when they were attacked by many surrounding countries. According to Jesus, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into all the nations. Very important. He didn't say forever and ever. And replacement theology people forget this. They say God's finished with Israel. He's not. Yeshua said they will fall by the sword, be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, other nations, until, very important word, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Luke 21:24. We cannot ignore that scripture. The times of Gentiles, many don't know what it means. It means the time of Gentile domination over Jerusalem. The return of Jerusalem to Israel's control in 1967 means that Gentile domination of Jerusalem is over. No matter what other nations shout or try to make happen, the times of Gentile domination of Jerusalem is over. The times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. This is the sign of Yeshua's return being near and the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, which prepares us for Jesus' return. This event was known worldwide, caused confusion in many nations. So it's a wake-up call for those of us who understand the prophetic importance of Israel in worldwide events. Trumpets were also blown as a wake-up call, a call to exercise faith in God's promises, and a call to spiritual warfare. The return of Jerusalem to Jewish control is this worldwide sign, and we must be ready, get ready, prepare ourselves for the Lord's return, and be active in the work of his kingdom. Okay, in Isaiah, where he describes the return of the Jewish people to their land as the great trumpet, Isaiah 27:13, Isaiah says, so it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Over many years, we have seen that. We've seen the Jewish people worldwide make Aliyah, return to their land, and worship the Lord, the thousands at the moment, they have to be just at the wall of the temple, but one day they will worship him on the Temple Mount. We personally enter into the Feast of Trumpets when we respond to the signs of the times, show solidarity with God's plan for Israel, wake up to the urgency of the times, and become filled with hope and anticipation with God's destiny for us personally and for the world. We're not full of despair of what's going on. We know the signs of the times, and we know the end, the victory is the Lord's. When we do this, we are like wise virgins in Yeshua's parable, and we enter into our personal awakening and our personal feast of trumpets as we prepare, make ourselves the bride. The Day of Atonement, which is 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, known as Yom Kippur, recalls the annual Day of Atonement when the sin of the nation was covered and removed through the atoning work of the temple high priests. This is at the time at the temple during Jesus' day. This was accomplished by symbolically confessing the sins of the people on the head of a goat, and then leading that goat, the scapegoat, into the wilderness, symbolizing the removal of sin. The other goat was sacrificed in the presence of the Lord. That's all explained in Leviticus 16. We have Jesus as our once-for-all high priest who shed his blood on the Mount of Olives, on Calvary, Golgotha, the rush of the Mount of Olives, for the sins of all men. He is our scapegoat who took on himself our sins and judgments. All done, deal, finished. Many don't know that. They're trying to work, get there by their works. All you need is Jesus every moment, every day. Atonement signifies that there is an ongoing application of the blood of the Lamb of God to remove and cleanse us from sin. This is our personal application. In John, it says the blood of Jesus goes on cleansing if we bring everything into the light, 1 John. Through the death of Yeshua for the sins of Israel and for the sins of the whole people, though it took place 2,000 years ago, here's the personal application of Yom Kippur. The benefits of his death have not been accepted by the people of Israel, all of the people, many of them we know already. Some of them openly, some of them perhaps not so openly. But they've become friends of Yeshua, believers in Yeshua as their Messiah. But with there's a day going to be when there is going to be accepted by the people of Israel as a nation. But this will not happen until there's a national repentance in Israel before the return of the Lord, when they recognize and put their faith in the atonement provided by Yeshua. This is foretold in Zechariah 12:10, and this is what Yom Kippur is about. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is God, God's word, and what he says he does. His word also tells us that. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. They shall look unto me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for his only son, Zechariah 12:10. The Feast of Trumpets speaks of Israel's return to the land, the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur speaks of their return to God, and he loves his people. Yeshua was Jewish, is Jewish, and there's no other faith. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both these events take place before the return of the Lord. Now, what's Sukkoth happen? After the 10 days, they have this wonderful week of celebration, a whole week. And we've been there and had the privilege of celebrating with the Jewish people many times. At Sukkoth, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, it recalls that the children of Israel, even when living in tents in the wilderness, were sustained by God's faithful provision. This feast expresses the enjoyment of God's bounty provision in the land of promise. And while in Israel now, we saw many of the balconies of people. They build a booth made of certain palm trees, and it had to have openness to the sky to show that they were depending not on their own expertise, but on God's provision in the way God provided them in the desert. When Jesus came the first time, he did not fulfill the last three feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles, which anticipates the return of the Lord, when he will set up his throne in Jerusalem, on David's throne, and become the manifest ruler of all the earth. God said to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed, Arabs and Jews and whosoever's, come to him, recognize him. This is the glorious goal of history. At that time, the earth will be redeemed from its bondage to war and just systems of government and decay. Yeshua, the King of Israel, will come and take that throne of David and rule over his people and over all nations. What a day that will be. Believers will rise to meet him if we're on the earth and receive the full payment of their redemption. And if not, those who have gone ahead will come back with him. What a day. Even the redemption of the body will take place. There's many scriptures for this. Isaiah 2:2-3, Acts 2:11, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, 1 Corinthians 15:51-54, Luke chapter 1, verse 32, Romans chapter 8:20-24. This is not just scripture from what we erroneously call the Old Testament. There's only one word, complete Bible, beginning in Genesis and ending in Revelation. When we study these feasts, we can see God's whole plan for salvation and world redemption. The shadow of the feasts is an anticipation of great reality that God is unfolding in world history and in the history of Israel. What amazing days we're living in. Even though they may be difficulties, they're days of cleansing. Yom Kippur is days of cleansing to prepare the way for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yeshua HaMashiach, the God and Father of our Lord and God of Israel, to reign throughout the whole earth. Rejoice, rejoice, Shana Tovah.